Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Gut punched, Alzheimer's, and caregivers. Navigating the insidious illness of Alzheimer's is something nobody asks for. The disease sneaks up on you and your loved one, and it feels like you've been sucker punched in the gut. Then you ask, where do we turn for help? Who do we call? What do we do? These questions and more are what we hope to answer and give you some direction and hope. Now let's join our host, Jeff Edwards.
Glad to have you along. How are you doing today? What does gut punch mean? What does gut punch mean to you? I know what it means to me. It means the time my doctor told me my wife has Alzheimer's, and it felt like somebody kicked me right in the gut, punched me right in the gut. Gut punched. You know what that feels like. And what is Alzheimer's? Well, that's a disease, most common form of dementia, a progressive brain disease that slowly destroys memories and thinking skills. It's insidious. And what are caregivers? Caregivers could be spouses, partners, adult children, parents, other relatives, siblings, aunts, nieces, nephews, in-laws, and you name it, friends and neighbors too. Whatever your relationship with the person you're caring for, it's important that you add the title caregiver to the list of things you are. And caregiving is going to be the emphasis of the podcasts that we do. We'll be talking with some doctors about Alzheimer's and medicines, et cetera, et cetera. But we're going to be talking to a lot of caregivers. And today we'll be talking to somebody who was a caregiver to his wife, and we'll hear his story, because everybody's got a story. Everybody's story is different. One thing to remember, everybody knows somebody who has this illness, and it's not a lot of fun. The first key for a caregiver is to think about yourself. Sounds selfish, doesn't it? But you got to take care of yourself, because if you're sick or you're injured or you can't handle it, then you're no good for your loved one who you're caregiving for. Makes sense, doesn't it? Today, we're going to talk to a gentleman who is from Virginia, and his name is Les Berger, and we'll get back to that in just a minute.
The Dubin Center has helped me exponentially with so many questions answered. It's just been great.
Call today or visit us at DubinCenter.com to learn more.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Gut Punched, Alzheimer's and caregivers.
My guest today is Major General Leslie M. Berger, USA retired former commanding general, Walter Reed Army Medical Center, and the North Atlantic Regional Medical Command. And he's also involved in the Veterans Health Administration, first as a chief medical officer, and then as a network director for Veterans Integrated Service Network 21.
He also served on the Washington State Medical Board. This guy knows his stuff, and he was a caregiver to his wife, Julie Berger. And we spoke a few weeks ago, and I was impressed with Les's background and his story. So I asked if I could interview him for Gut Punched, Alzheimer's and Caregivers, and he agreed. We're talking with Les Berger. Hi, Les. How you doing today?
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Can you tell us a little bit about what you've been up to lately?
Well, I live in a very vibrant retirement community in Northern Virginia. Came here a couple of years ago as my wife's Alzheimer's continued to progress so we could be closer to our kids.
Mm-hmm.
She passed away in December of 2021, and I've remained active in the support group, in volunteering in an adult daycare program for people with cognitive impairment, primarily Alzheimer's. I serve on a health committee in the community. I do medical writing and enjoy being around my kids and grandkids, which hadn't been the case since our first went off to college back in 1984. So it's wonderful having the family together, and boy, my wife sure would have enjoyed having the kids and grandkids around, to be sure.
Yeah,
I try to do a little traveling.
Good for you. Tell us about your wife, Julie, and what did you do when you found out that she had Alzheimer's? How did that feel, and what did you do?
Well, Jeff, I was married to a wonderful woman for 61 years, and absolutely brilliant, wonderful, caring wife, mom, worked for the American Red Cross for 50 years in numerous roles.
Wow.
Traveling around the world, helping people. It was in 2015 now, Julie came to me and told me that something was wrong. There were some parts of her memory there was something very different. And she said, don't tell me that everybody, you know, misplaces their keys. She said, you know, I used to be able to do all kinds of math in my head, and she can't do it. And, you know, there was definitely something wrong.
Right.
So in 2015, she had had symptoms for about a year that she managed to hide from me. So in 2015, we went to see a neuropsychologist that did an extensive battery of tests. We went back to see the neurologist, the psychologist, about a week later, and she told us that Julie had what she called MCI, a mild cognitive impairment.
Okay.
Which we knew nothing about at the time. And, you know, the psychologist tried to be very upbeat and whatever, but the reality is that about 10% of people that have MCI each year go on to more significant cognitive problems, you know, again, mm-hmm. primarily Alzheimer's disease.
Mm.
We each year our kids and families all get together during the summer, and that summer we sat around one evening, each with a copy of the psychologist's report, and we talked about it. Alzheimer's wasn't unknown in my wife's family. She had two or three aunts and uncles, actually, who had Alzheimer's. So okay. We were aware of the disease. Lots of emotion, as you can imagine, with all of us sitting around and talking about what's next. Lots of tears, but that was that.
Mm-hmm.
We continued to try to live our life pretty normally, but Julie's symptoms continued. And so several months later, she said, you know, I'm really getting worse. And I recognize that. So, we went back to the psychologist, repeated some of the tests, and at that point diagnosed Julie with Alzheimer's disease in the early stage.
Gotcha.
And I think, as you know, and your listeners know, that in a in a way, people think of Alzheimer's as having an early, a middle, and a late stage.
Right.
And while I've actually met people who stayed in the early stage for 10 or 15 years.
Wow.
For most people, the length of the disease, 7 or 8 years, you get into that advanced stage and die. Mm-hmm. So at that point, with the diagnosis, we tried to put our finances in order, and we established a trust for our family and rewrote our wills and went through all that kind of stuff. Julie insisted that she wanted to be in a clinical trial to help herself if she could, but to help others, which was really her main reason. And so we explored on the NIH website, the National Institutes of Health. They have a website that's called clinicaltrials.com. And we found a couple of trials that Julie would be interested in that were nearby where we lived. And from that time, for about 3 years, Julie was at, she was in two trials. She was in one for about 2 years where she was getting an intravenous medication every 2 weeks to every month. And at the end of 2 years, the pharmaceutical company discontinued because it was not showing to be of any help. And then she went into another trial, all for probably less than a year or about a year. And at that point, she became more seriously involved, and she no longer wanted to be part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, early on, we went right to the Alzheimer's Association.
Okay.
They have a wonderful website, and they really are a wonderful organization that have all kinds of resources. They have a 24-hour hotline that I've used, you know, when I had an issue, and, you know, and I call them and get some advice from people who are trained to do that. We joined the support group that was for people, for caregivers, as well as people affected with a cognitive impairment.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very, we made wonderful friends, and it was wonderful to do it, you know, and kind of depressing all at the same time.
Yeah.
There were about 20 or 30 couples involved in that. Some were husbands and wives. Some was mother, a daughter with a mother. One was a very dear friend. And most of the people had Alzheimer's, and you really learn a lot from each other, and you contribute and help other people that maybe are at an earlier stage and are looking for more advice. And I found that to be really very, very helpful, very comforting. Julie then progressed into the middle stage where she really needed someone to be around all the time. At that point, I retired from what I was doing, my third retirement. I became her full-time caregiver. We lived in a wonderful city in Vancouver, Washington. Wonderful neighbors, a wonderful community, people so very helpful. There were lots of folks that we could lean on that would, why don't you bring Julie over and we'll have coffee, and I'm going to go shopping, and Julie can go with me, and, you know, all those kind of things.
Right.
Which gave me a respite, which was really, really good, Jeff. If there's nothing else I would say to people that are listening, and something that I do a lot now is talking to people who are caregivers. No matter how you think you're getting the care that you need to take care of yourself, you're not. You really need to figure out a way of taking care of yourself.
Definitely. Definitely. That's what they told me. Take care of yourself first, and then you can take care of your loved
one. That's right. I mean, if your health fails, you're not, you know, any good to anybody else. But it's such a terrible disease. It is so wearing on the people who are the caregivers. You know, Julie and I early on, and with friends, we would laugh and cry together. But, you know, when someone asks you the same question 10 times in 5 minutes, it is really, really hard for most of us to just stay cool through all that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You know, and so you really need to learn how to do that. And, to, you know, you need to go to the gym or take a walk or, you know, when someone would look after Julie, I would go, you know, I'd go get some lunch at Panera's or someplace like that. And I'd go drive by the Columbia River and I just parked and watched the river and the birds and the people walking by, and I'd eat my sandwich, and, you know, I would just chill out. And that really is just so important for people.
Is that the advice you would give to a caregiver who's just starting the journey, or is there anything more specific?
Well, that would be a really important piece of advice, and that is you really need to figure out how to take care of yourself. A second thing that I had mentioned is there are support groups everywhere. Reach out to a support group. It becomes an extended family for you, and it's really there with all kinds of advice. As you probably know, Jeff, oftentimes people with Alzheimer's, their personal hygiene fails.
Yeah.
Whether it's not wanting to brush their teeth or take a shower or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we would talk about that in the support group. You know, there was one guy who said, you know, is there a problem when I go take a shower? I just take my wife in the shower with me.
Good idea.
And she said, you know, he said that she seems to tolerate that, you know.
Yeah.
Someone else talked about, you know, just have them sit in the shower and just take off their shoes and socks and use the, you know, the water on their feet to begin with and whatever. I mean, you just pick up all these little points from people, you know. So support group, I think, is very important. And the third thing I would say, again, I mentioned, is the Alzheimer's Association. They have chapters in every state. I found the one in Washington State and in Oregon were extremely helpful. They had programs for people. They had a choir. They had art programs. They took people on walks. They went to the museum. They went to the park. So that really was a wonderful a thing to do. I did a lot of reading as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, since we talked, I've actually given my books to other people, but there have been people with early Alzheimer's who've written books. There have been family members. There have been scientists. And so that reading also gave me a lot of insight and provided a lot of support for me. So I knew what I was looking forward to and, you know, what was coming up and all that.
Right.
So reading would be another thing. And I guess one other thing I would mention would be I was blessed to have a very close friend when I lived in Vancouver. And as Julie's disease progressed and I had someone come to the house to provide care for Julie for like 3 or 4 hours so I could get out of the house and go shopping or do whatever I needed to do. This fella and I would, we'd go out to lunch together. And, you know, it was just wonderful. It was like I used to say, I'm getting a lot of couch time from you. You know, we would go out to lunch and we'd be gone for a couple hours and we'd come back home and we'd pull into my driveway. And, you know, Jeff, we'd sit there and we'd talk for another hour, you know?
That's really good. You need that.
Yeah,
you need to be able to vent.
Right. So, you know, whether it's a friend, you know, a family member, your chaplain, I mean, whoever it is, it is really just something that also helps. So those, I think, are the things that I would really suggest that people do, and certainly get their life in order from a legal perspective.
Most definitely. That's really important.
Yeah, you know, after the first year or so, Julie's comprehension wasn't there anymore, and And so we had to redo the wills, and I redid the trust and all those kind of things. And, you know, Julie had a cell phone, and after a while, she didn't know how to use her cell phone. Well, if you don't know what her password is to get into her cell phone,
you can't use it. You can't.
So, you know, you need to be thinking of writing all that stuff down so you know what it is. You know, whether it's any kind of checking accounts or saving accounts or investment things or cell phone passwords or password for the computer, all that stuff. So trying to put all that stuff together, too, was really, really very important.
It is. And it takes time. And you've got to kind of plan for that and based on a stage and is like, hurry up and do it. As time, because you don't know the time progression of the disease and how long it's going to take.
Absolutely. And so in the retirement community where I live, several of us put together kind of a trifold that we made. It's important papers document.
Mm-hmm.
And there are literally 26 things we have listed on there. It's just a reminder, and I've used that now to make, you know, here's my Social Security number, you know, here's my checking account number and bank number. You know, all that stuff is really, you know, Facebook account. How do you close a Facebook account and on and on. So that's really something very important.
Yeah, it is. And I've done a lot of that stuff in my case. Also, there were in where I live locally in the Fort Myers, Florida area, there's a couple other programs. One is with a bracelet that I have information inside my refrigerator that has every detail about my wife, and we update it every year. And also, there is tied in with the Sheriff's Department in Lee County, Florida. They have, and I can't remember what it is off the top of my head, but anyway, they take a cent and you send it to, this place. It was tied in with United Health, I believe. United Health.
Or
something like that. And they, so if she ever gets lost or is misplaced or whatever be the story, they can give it to a dog with the scent and the dog will find the lost loved one. So there's a lot of things you have to do. You know, I'm not at that stage yet, but I know people who have that. And I've heard stories. Yeah. Some that were funny and some that were sad. About you know, people running away, and you go, "Oh, didn't think about that one."
Yeah, absolutely. Let me mention that. You know, early on, Julie didn't wander.
Mm-hmm.
As she got into that middle phase of the disease, she did. Mm-hmm. And you know, it took me a while, you know, to realize that. You know, until I came to the realization that I really couldn't leave Julie by herself. I'd leave her for an hour and I'd run to the gym, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I did that and I get a call from a neighbor. She was driving her car and Julie was way out on a main street.
Ooh.
She, thank goodness it was in the summertime and so the weather was reasonable and whatever. But she pulled over and, you know, "Hi, Julie, where are you going?" And Julie said, "Oh, I'm going to the dollar store," or something like that. And this neighbor was so sweet. She said, "Well, isn't that neat? I'm going there too. Why don't you get in the car and I'll take you there?"
Well,
and so Julie got in the car with her, and they went to the dollar store, and then they came home and whatever. And I was there, and that happened, you know, a couple of times, you know, for me. And one of my granddaughters said, "You know, Grandpa, you can put a little pediatric lock on the inside of the door that grandma won't be able to open, but you can open the door from the outside, so it's still safe."
Mm.
And son of a gun, if you go onto Amazon and you ask for pediatric locks or something like that, this is a simple little plastic thing that you Velcro right by the door handle, and it sets up against the handle. So you can't pull the handle down unless you depress a button.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does.
And so for $11, I bought that, and I was able to put it, you know, in our house, in our in our apartment here in the retirement community, because when we went to bed at night, sometimes Julie would get up and, you know, I'm sleeping dead to the world, and Julie would get up and she couldn't wander. She couldn't get out of the house. So that's something else, you know, to do.
Well, Les, you've provided a ton of information from your personal experience. And that's one of the things that we're looking to do with this podcast, is be able to provide information, resources, experiences, you know, the good, the bad. It's just something that people who are just starting into this illness with somebody, whoever, wife, father, grandfather, grandmother, that they have no place to go. They don't know what to do. And that's kind of what we want to do. And you have firsthand experience. Plus, you're still involved in helping with caregivers. And God bless you for that. Because there's so many people that need it.
Yes, very definitely. Yeah, do you have time for me to tell one more story?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, you know, the issue of driving, I think, is a very important one, Jeff, as well. Most of us, you know, even without a cognitive impairment, we get older and maybe we can't get our leg up from the brake to the, you know, from the gas to the brake, yet we insist on driving and whatever. And I've met people who have early Alzheimer's and literally came home one day, put the keys down on the counter and said, I'm not going to drive anymore. And then there are people who tell you that they're perfectly fine driving. Yeah. I'm not sure that I have answers to all that, but it's something that people just really need to be aware of. It's not only the physical issue of not knowing how to turn and where to turn, but what we don't recognize is that our loved ones wind up, what's the yellow light mean? What's the red sign, you know, that's on the corner? They really, if people with Alzheimer's forget those things, you are not aware of it, and you're just concerned about physically this person knows how to drive. And so you really need to monitor that pretty carefully. Our neurologist, without my asking, she told Julie that my wife, that she shouldn't drive anymore, which really made my wife angry. Mm-hmm. Julie loved this lady, physician, until she said that, and then she told me she doesn't want to go back and see her anymore. But anyway, she, the physician, filled out a form that I could give to the licensing bureau, and they would then call the person to take a driver's test.
Oh, interesting.
And I believe most states have that, and you probably, when living in Washington State, you can go online to the licensing bureau, and there's a form that you could fill out. You put your name and your spouse and whatever, and just simply say, I don't think my wife should be driving. She has Alzheimer's disease, and they will, or have the option of calling and saying that person needs to come in for a driver's test.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Fortunately for me, when the doctor told my wife, and he's one of the first things he said is no more driving. And so she adhered to that. Now, I will occasionally, off the record, have her do something for me. If I, you know, had a medical procedure, I'll have her drive me to the end of the parking lot or whatever. But but for the most part, you know, she's better off without. And our area is growing and developing so much. I where am I? What's everything's changed? She has no clue. So, yeah, if you can stop them from driving, that's probably the smartest thing to do for everybody.
Yeah, yeah, and good for her for doing that. You know, people's personality change with this disease as well, and you know, some people remain smiley and very agreeable, and some people become, you know, a little more irritable and more difficult and whatever. But
it's one of those things, and hopefully, you know, you can get through it the best you can, and all you can do is what you can do. Look for help and resources, and it just depends on the stage. And I'm aware of it, and I hope other people will see it. and take some advice from somebody like yourself who's been through it and still involved in a caregiving thing, because there are so many resources, but most people don't know. And that's kind of what we want. That's what we want to do. We want to help. I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on the radio or TV or whatever, but I just want to be able to pass that information along to make it easier, because I remember what it was like to start.
You know, another issue that came up, we have three sons.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in their 50s. They're all very wonderful, caring people. And I had this conversation with them about, well, you know, there is a genetic marker that may be of some help. And, you know, do you want to know if you may be developing Alzheimer's? You know, would that change your life any and whatever? And, you know, you're all adults. You need to decide, you know, you will do what you will do, but it might change what you do with the rest of your life. And so you know, some of these clinical trials are for people who are younger that have Alzheimer's in their family.
Yeah.
Which means you would be given, you know, the PET scans, the brain scans, to see if, in fact, your brain is accumulating the beta amyloid, that plaque. And again, some people say, I want to do that. And some people say, there's no treatment for this disease. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
But it's yet another thing, really, another discussion that should be had with one's family.
I agree. Well, Les, it's been a pleasure. And you continue the work that you're doing. Thank you so much for your time. I know it's going to be quite helpful for a lot of people.
Well, thank you very, very much, Jeff. And again, I enjoy doing this with you. Thank you for what you're doing.
Well, I'd like to thank Les Berger for sharing his story with us. And as we've mentioned before, every story is a bit different, but each have some common issues and information that can be shared and passed along to others. And that's our goal on Gut Punched: to share information and resources to those starting or in the early stages of caregiving. Be back in a jiff.
We've invented cars that drive themselves and 3D printers that build prosthetic arms and legs. We've successfully transplanted hearts and lungs. Now it's time to end Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is on track to cost the nation nearly $1 trillion by 2050. We can either be known for having the most expensive disease in history or for putting an end to it. Ask Congress to join the fight at alz.org/timetoendALZ.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Gut Punched: Alzheimer's and Caregivers.
Well, before we go, I'd like to call to attention some telephone numbers you might want to write down. Elder Care Locator, which is 800-677-1116, or you can use the Elder Care Locator online tool, where you can search for services by zip code, city, or state, and you could ask friends, family, and neighbors about their experiences. Another link will be to the Dubin Center, which is dubincenter.com. The Alzheimer's Disease Dementia is dementiasociety.org. Or you could find your local Alzheimer's Association with alz.org/local/resources/find-your-local-chapter. For moms, placeformom.com. If you didn't get those, you can go to our website, which is gutpunch.com. We'll have them posted there. And if you didn't do that, you can also email us at gutpunchedac@outlook.com.
Well, thanks for joining us. Hope you got something out of this. In future, we'll be talking with some more doctors and some more caregivers, and everybody will share their story. Everybody knows somebody who's going through this, and that's why we're here to help and educate and pass along some resources. Thank you, and we'll see you again.
This has been Gut Punched, Alzheimer's and Caregivers, with your host, Jeff Edwards. Don't forget to hit that like button and subscribe to us on all the platforms like Spotify, Apple, Pandora, and more. If you have a question or want to get in touch, our email is gutpunchedac@outlook.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.